You don't have to like everything we say. You don't have to listen to us.
Diego de Yankee, Ali America.
Well, today, as we discuss the future of OSINT, we're going to be looking over the intelligence community's OSINT strategy listed and dated for the next 2 years, put out and signed off by the Director of National Intelligence and the Functional Manager of OSINT, also known as the Director of Central Intelligence. We're going to take a look at what's in that document. For those who remember the live show a couple years ago where I had to interpret the UFO document, I'm going to be doing the same thing, except for this is much easier to read and significantly shorter. It's only a few pages. We'll be going over that page by page. It's in the show notes. Simple to read. Think of me not as interpreting a foreign language, but more like pointing out some things you probably don't realize that you're actually reading that's there and what it means, so we can all get on the same page and see what's happening with OSINT. So for those who'd like to see what's going on currently in the intelligence community in the world, we're going to look at the future of OSINT and where that's going right here on Gray Man, Hiding in Plain Sight. So OSINT, or Open Source Intelligence, is one of our five major disciplines that we've talked about in the past. And as we start working our way towards discussing those a little more, we're going to take a look at this report that came out just a few days ago, which discusses the 24 to 26 policy, or strategy, not really policy. And it actually numbers to 6 pages. So it's got like a couple of those Roman numeral pages before it, but the whole thing's like 10 pages, including the covers. And that's like front and back total 10. It's insanely short, very easy to read. This is an unclassified document. I'm going to go over some things about this too, because some people misunderstand these documents. This is not a declassified document. It was not classified at higher information and stuff was declassified for the public. This is an unclassified document. When intelligence agencies produce documents like this, strategies, policies, whatever they have to do, they'll just about always have a classification marking on them. It's part of the job, and it's because it floats around the building with all kinds of other stuff, and people need to know that it's been scrutinized, looked at. It's definitely unclassified. There's not a classified version of this. There won't be. Things like this are done fairly regularly. This is something in here it's going to discuss. They're actually going to be reviewing the strategy every year. I imagine that won't start for 2 years, though, since this is a 2-year startup document. So it's not some other secret thing that they're not telling you that they change like they do, say, with that UFO report we mentioned. There's just too many things like this out there. So this is fairly simple. In the beginning, it shows the functional managers, Director Burns of the CIA and the Director of National Intelligence, make an opening statement basically about the importance of OSINT to them and how important it is. This is very standard fare that you see. And then when you go into it, the page starts talking about the definition of OSINT, which it's a pretty good definition, but it says open source intelligence is intelligence derived exclusively from publicly or commercially available information that addresses specific intelligence priorities, requirements, or gaps. So publicly or commercially, which means commercially means you could pay for it. Going back to some of the stuff we talked about recently with the NSA. Publicly or commercially available, it also means is available to anybody else, meaning anybody else has the ability to obtain it. But it has to answer specific priorities, specific requirements, or fill intelligence gaps, which we talked about in the past. And it gives their standard mission and vision. And the mission, I haven't recently looked over the missions of the agencies, but this mission is a very simple, generic statement, as most missions are. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's actually a pretty good one. The way it's written, you could actually basically change anything out in there, and it would apply. So it says, just so you know, intelligence community professionals collect, create, and deliver timely, relevant, and insightful open source intelligence to inform national security decisions and protect our nation and interests. So you could just take the part open source and you could change it to human intelligent, then you could change it to SIGINT, then you could change it to MAZINT, then you could change it to GEOINT. You could change it to all kinds of stuff. You could change it to cybersecurity, whatever, and it would fit for all those different groups. I'm sure they all have their own mission statements, and that has their vision. And the vision's kind of important. It kind of, granted, I've read this document a few times to make sure I'm prepared, but it definitely insinuates some things that they cover in the document that may not stand out to most people. The vision, meaning here's what we want to have, is a professionalized, integrated, and agile intelligence community OSINT enterprise. So what they're saying is, and this is true, and they're addressing this in the document, there isn't an enterprise. There isn't really an integrated or agile OSINT enterprise. Pretty much everybody's doing it. To some degree, they have to be. But we're not all on the same page. If you think about back, or if you want to go look up what ODNI started for with the Director of National Intelligence and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, how it kind of coordinates stuff for the community. What we're doing here is the Central Intelligence Agency is going to be the main asset that's going to be controlling and not controlling, but coordinating OSINT for everybody. So yeah, they will control it. They'll probably write the policy. They'll write the direction. It'll cover in here things like they're going to do collection. They're going to do dissemination. They're going to help standardize training. Somebody needs to do this and it needs to happen. But while we go over that, the important thing we're really going to discuss is the theme for the season, if you haven't figured it out yet, because I've been saying it a lot, is the why. The why this is happening. People don't ever focus on the why, hardly all. They focus on the what. So when we're looking at this, the Integrated Agile Intelligence Community Enterprise, providing the decision advantage. So they're seeing this as a specific advantage, and it's because it's a growing thing. It's not new. OSINT and OSINT departments, OSINT desks, OSINT divisions, depending on the organization you're in, have been around for a long time. Some have officially been named within 10 years. Some are a little older, but now we're taking this to another level. Like, we're really coordinating this all together. And also what this overall document is suggesting is that we are not, or at least not anytime in the near future, looking at taking open source and creating an intelligence agency for it. What we're doing is looking at taking it as an intelligence method, a collection method, and standardizing it for everybody. It makes sense to have the CIA do it. They not only have a long history of that, is they standardize pretty much everything for human intelligence. So as an example, when I was in the military, when I first started in human intelligence, there wasn't a lot that my chain of command had to do when it came to the job. I mean, there was mission managers and things that went on, but as far as the policies and the laws we had to follow things, almost none of that came from the military, the Department of Defense. Some of it came from like international law. None of it really came from our own laws. And a lot of the ways things are done were governed by the CIA because they oversee all human intelligence activities. So, for example, you want to recruit a guy. There's a long process to recruiting a guy, and it's this big old thing. But basically what you're doing is you got this guy. He's giving you good info. So you're going to put him on the payroll and tell him officially you're an intelligence guy, and he already knows that probably. And you develop this relationship, and he's what we call an asset. So every uniform guy wants to get an asset. They think it's this big deal. So nobody's really trained to do it. And then they trained a few of us to do it. And then there's this whole legal process and things that have to happen to recruit, all the steps, the paperwork, all these steps and things involved. And human intelligence oversees that through CIA. So what CIA did to help us out is said, look, we're going to change the policy. They weren't changing laws. They just changed the policy and said, here's what we're going to allow you to do. Here's the basically, it's not a chain of command, but we'll call it a chain of command of people and levels that you go through in order to recruit an asset in the military. Somewhere in here, one of these handful of people needs to be trained and certified to do recruitment. It doesn't matter who it is. So it could be the lowest level person who wants to do the recruiting, or it could be the highest level certified person. And that made it so we could recruit people a little easier. We still didn't even do it that much. But that's kind of the power and authority they have over it. Because so much of human intelligence really drives the mission on the battlefield for the military, and it is a significant asset for many other things, but all five ints are important, and OSINT is important. OSINT is the one that really integrates to all of them and that they all use. And while it's its own int, doesn't have to be its own agency. But I think this could be me saying it as a human guy, but in my opinion, the majority of it really goes to OSINT. Data mining and that kind of thing through SIGINT, yes. But when it comes to people and machine learning and stuff doing this, so much of it is integrated with OSINT. It just makes sense to me. And I think the NSA already has enough to do. So when it goes into this, they talk about their strategic focus areas, which there's four of. The first one is they want to coordinate open source data acquisition and expand sharing. Acquisition means collection. They're not saying collection here. They're going to say it later, but it's still mostly acquisitions, mostly collection, but by definition, not everything they get will be collection. That doesn't matter for this discussion, but they want to coordinate it. So when they want to make sure, while coordination might start with them giving permission to some degree, which would be a normal thing, they want to make sure that it's all coordinated in a way that everybody knows. So we don't have five guys in five different places trying to get the same thing and causing a problem or making it known. You know, we want a tradecraft aspect to this, that people don't know what we're trying to get, especially the bad guys. And then expand sharing, meaning it's not being shared enough, and there's probably not, and there definitely isn't, a lot of sharing and coordination and efficiency going on there. The next thing they want to do is establish integrated open source collection management. What that means is it's not integrated. Everybody that's doing collection, open source collection, and the management of it is doing their own thing. This is very similar to how OD and I started. All the agencies were doing their own thing. Their big thing was to kind of help them talk and communicate and share and work better together. CI is doing the same thing, just with open source. And it says we want to drive OSINT innovation to deliver new capabilities. So they're going to be the main force behind approving, if not searching out and finding and making happen. So as they say, driving new innovations to deliver new capabilities. Things that we're thinking about or beyond what we're thinking about now, specific to open source, which they get a little more into later. And then it says, develop the next generation OSINT workforce and tradecraft. To understand what that most likely means is we're not talking about, you know, like Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, not that kind of generation. Think the military aspect when they talk about the next generation airplane, next generation, sixth generation fighter, fifth generation fighter, seventh generation fighter. We're thinking like that. A whole nother evolution of tradecraft and intelligence collection and capability and processing here that we would call a whole nother generation. Now, while some of this will start to elude like they're playing catch up, and I think in some ways they kind of are when we get into the technology aspect, think back to when I told you, and those have been around a long time, how I talked about things in the past about like Siri and Alexa, for example. People didn't believe it was real, but then it happened. Or when we talked about artificial intelligence years ago, and some guys are like, I'm an expert on that, and that doesn't exist. I'm like, yes, it does. And then we find out it absolutely was. The reason I'm really playing catch up is a lot of things out there in that realm of technology they have or have invented themselves. So in the same way that the private sector sometimes doesn't realize they're playing catch up and haven't really invented anything, sometimes the private sector is in the lead. There are many things out there they're not playing catch up on that they're definitely in the lead on and trying to go beyond what the private sector is. But at the same time, because it's technology, the private sector is, it's like free invention to the government, to a sense, because the private sector is funding themselves through whatever. They can be funded through the government. They don't have to be. A lot of them are doing it themselves. And then you just build these relationships, and then you work with them to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm not talking about illegal activity and spying on citizens or stuff. Obviously, the capability is always there. But I'm talking about technology and innovative design and inventions and things that will help accomplish their mission that they can develop or work together with and use it, just like you and I are using stuff every day. It goes on to say that in addition to these four areas, the strategy recognizes that effective and supportive governance and robust partnerships with industry, academia, and foreign counterparts will be essential for success in the OSINT mission. So industry. Some people think that means intelligence community. Some people think that means technology. That means anything considered an industry. It will always mean that. Academia. It's well known the government works with academia. And just like we have some of our biggest studies and things that go on through the government, go through different universities and set places. Some of those people come and work with us in different areas. There's a long history of that. And we always are working with academia. They are on the forefront of a lot of the research, but not all of it. And there are a lot of new young minds and older, more experienced minds. And it's just a wonderful place to work and get ideas and to help coordinate when you're working with the private sector, which is industry. And then foreign counterparts. Counterparts typically mean, but do not always 100% mean allies. So for example, people think China is our enemy. They're not. They're considered a competitor. And, you know, being communist, we're not communists. Obviously, we don't get along into things. But there are things that they are counterparts to us on, like trade, for example. You know, Harley and Starbucks and I think McDonald's or Burger King or something sold over there. A bunch of stuff. You can look into that. Or just like back in the COVID era, one of the things we talked about was how Chinese scientists are one of the biggest ones where they come over and work in some of our labs. We have people who go over and work in theirs, and so do many other countries do that. So we're working on this with other people. And some of these counterparts, especially like China, we've talked about their cyber capabilities, but we've talked a little bit about their OSINT collection and things like TikTok, which is a collection platform. They're probably, I would guess they're collecting by volume more than anybody by far. How well that's being sorted through is a whole nother story, but they definitely have some, I don't know if I want to say advantages, but they definitely have some things they're better at there. And then some of those things we're better at. And then after that, it goes on. The bulk of the article really just goes into the introduction of why we're discussing this, and follow that, they just focus on those four strategic areas. But the introduction, if you ever read a document like this, it'll have a bunch of stuff like that that sounds like intro, then it'll get to an area that says intro. Almost always it's going to go down like this. Your first paragraph is like, this thing is cool. Okay, the thing we're talking about, OSINT. So it's talking, and the first thing it does here is like, it's vital. It enables us to do this. This is why we think OSINT is important. Usually want to start with, you want to read those to see how much BS is in there. But when you get to the second paragraph, you really get to the why, right? They're telling us OSINT's important, but why are we doing this? It's not because OSINT's important. And this is the part that really matters. Rapid advances in artificial intelligence and machine learning present significant opportunities to capitalize on the value of OSINT. So the focus is on machine learning, artificial intelligence, technology. Automated, somewhat manual. As much as this can be done with people and sorted through by people, and much of it will continue to be, a lot of it's going to focus on these capabilities. There are things with AI that have existed in government for a long time. So if you watch the videos or use ChatGPT or any of those programs yourself and see what they can do, just like anything, the pros in government to use this stuff, they're way better at it than you are, just like the guys that do coding and, you know, the guys that go in and make viruses and all that. Those dudes, they're way better guys in government to do that than the regular dudes that are out there. But that's the thing they're focused on. And so that's why when we talked about before, like capabilities of artificial intelligence, you maximize it with quantum computing. When we asked that guy's question about, are we a person of interest? It goes way beyond that of what they're trying to do. And I don't mean this in a conspiracy bad way. That capability's there. Yes, that's always a concern. I understand that. But I'm saying what they'll be able to do with that in order to get bad guys and, more importantly, stop bad things from happening is astonishing now, but it'll be very, very unimaginable in not too long. Now, as those of you that choose to read this will see, it further goes on and discusses things such as wanting to keep this very fluid and functional, meaning that they're looking for efficiency in what they're doing and that they want to make sure that they're continually chasing and evolving and innovation while updating the enterprise and everything they're doing. They're going to focus on standardization of training. Now, whether that's here's what you have to train at a minimum, you all go forth and do great things, or they have a central area where people come in to train on some basic OSINT stuff and then go train whatever for their agency, who knows. There's a lot of things that'll be looked at that. They use the word tradecraft a few times as we evolve this more into a tradecraft state of things that are beyond what the normal person really knows about and how we're doing, the methodology behind how we're doing these things, the different steps that we follow that we call tradecraft. For open source specific, because that's becoming it's not really a broader term. It's the same term it's always been, but it typically, historically, long, long time ago, was what spies did. Guys on the ground going out undercover and all that. And now we've realized that a lot of people were doing things in different areas like analysis that, by the way it's done, would be considered tradecraft, and so that's why that term is used now. So it's used now to address things that absolutely make sense for it, just in other areas beyond that of the cool guy stuff we like to talk about on here and that you want to hear about. Now, one of the things you will start to see too as you read it is they use the term policymaker more often. One of the things to note is what policy or policymaker is. A lot of times that word in America is misused to people think of policymakers like Congress. They are legislators. They create laws. They don't make policy. Policymakers are executives, things like governors. So in this level, what we're talking about is the president and the executive branch. As the CIA being one of the only two independent agencies, that's their customer. That's who they work for, is the President of the United States. They don't work for Congress. Most of the intelligence community is under the executive branch, but the CIA specifically works for the President to do whatever their mission is that they want them to do or focus on. which can change at any given moment. It doesn't change as much as people think because there's a new president. It can, but it's not always the case. Usually the issue is whether or not the president wants to hear what they have to say, not that they have some drastically different mission than the last guy did. And despite with them doing this, I don't really expect much of a change there. I mean, regardless of who you want to be president of the United States, there shouldn't really be a big concern about Donald Trump, who's about to start receiving briefings probably even though there hasn't been a convention, he's definitely going to be the main guy running for president, so he'll be getting briefings. People will probably talk about that, and because of his, you know, classified material and whatever stuff in the past, whether or not he should be getting the info. While he more than likely will screw that up again, it's not a big deal because he doesn't even like the agency. I mean, we talked about this before. There was a mass exodus from the agency when he was the president and other intelligence services because he just didn't care what they had to say. He was paying private companies a shitload of money to tell him what he wanted to hear. He didn't want to hear what was really going on. And people really questioned, like, why am I even doing this? Like, we have a customer. It's the only customer we have. They don't want to hear what we have to say. So what are we even doing? And they kind of, like, there's stuff they just quit doing because they didn't have, it was like, don't do that anymore. Okay, well, what do you want us to do? Why don't you do nothing? So that's oversimplified, but it's very possible that we could expect that to happen to some degree again. Even if it's not as bad, it'll probably be there. Of course, we don't know. We really don't know. But whoever the president is, they are the boss of the CIA, just like there are a lot of things in the executive branch. And open source is a very, very powerful tool. But this shows us some of the things that we're trying to do better in that world of getting people together, getting them on the same page. We want to standardize training. We want to make sure that we're communicating, being more efficient. We want to share information. Hey, we're all on the same team. Let's work together. Let's have a standardized way of doing this. You know, let's take advantage of the opportunities we have with these new technologies and what we're already working with. And then let's make, they'll talk about relationships in there with private sector people. Let's re-visualize how we want to have these relationships. Let's start new relationships with them. So this is a lot of ways to do it. Sure, they're going to be spy type relationships, but there's going to be things like money, like contracts, like paying them, you know, that kind of thing. Or perhaps hiring people and saying, let's leverage this to make it as efficient as possible to sort through this data. Because, you know, if you go back to the whole phone thing with the NSA and their data centers, you know, they're not listening to all your phone calls. Obviously, you can Google how many cell phone calls are going on in the United States at any given second, and it can't be done. But they use computers and things to go through and sift through that. So if you think about, for any of you that's even flirted with, say, AI doing a search on the internet or helping you write something, how much better it is at certain things than just using Google, that type of capability is already there if you know how to use those prompts correctly to find said whatever intelligence agency or intelligence information you want, and then that can be expounded on and be even done more efficiently. And that can help us do things like find bad guys quicker, stop bad things from happening quicker, making sure that we have all the correct information the right way so that people aren't screwing up with warrants anymore, which doesn't happen all that often, but does happen, and making sure that we're doing things by the letter of the law. And it helps. It's not taking the human element out of it. It's making it easier for the human element to make better, more informed decisions to ensure that we're doing things correctly and legally. Now, maybe you don't like this and believe any of that. That's okay. But I thought this would be a fun thing to share. Some people sometimes ask me about this kind of stuff, and this is actually not being talked about that much, even by people that call themselves like OSINT people on the internet that really aren't OSINT people. This is actually a big deal of something that's happening. You know, it's not like, you know, we're admitting there's UFOs, big deal or something, but this is a big deal. This is important. And it's important to know about for those that are interested in these subjects. And I'm going to kind of flirt around with an idea on a show later about looking at things that are important that we might have missed and maybe discussing that a little more future about things that I think are important or why, or understanding why they might be important. So this is important to understand because we'll probably start hearing more about it. It's just whether or not we're going to pay attention to it. And it's nice to be able to have it and say, yes, that's an easy read. I understand that there's nothing extra to it, but to have somebody say, here's kind of the things that they're not telling you or suggesting that maybe you don't realize are there, and maybe you do.